are love. You bring light to the darkness.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
You know, I was thinking too, you're involved in the business world. I was thinking about a certain person I know in business, a professional in the medical field. And he's very prosperous and owns multiple locations of what he does and the people that work with him. And I was thinking, he's a young man in his 30s. And I was thinking of approaching him and saying, how would you like Jesus to be a partner in your business with you? Wouldn't you like that? Well, of course. And I was thinking, why not test the Lord with, putting out, a tithe, the 10% of your increase? He says it's the only place in the book of Malachi where he says, test me now.
That's right.
He says, because you are cursed with a curse. You say, why? Because you have robbed God. He says, bring 10% in that there'll be meat in my storehouse. There'll be food for the poor.
Overflow.
Clothe the naked. Visited those in prison. And see if I'll not pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. And it's not the prosperity gospel, folks. I don't believe that. That's not it. I believe that what you're doing is it's not really the money's number one. The number one thing is it creates relationship. If Pastor Chris Fogel said, hey, I'd like to be your friend, Rhett, go out here and do this, and then I'll know you're sold out. I mean, it builds relationship when you invite Jesus into your business. And I was thinking how many people are out there sort of on their own in the dark. And can you imagine if you made Jesus the CEO of your business?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, and I'll just bring up his name now because it's been a tremendous transformation. But he owns many Dunkin' Donuts stores and some other businesses, and it has happened to him. His name is Peter Economy, and family's been around Fort Pierce before I ever got there, and just a tremendous transformation in him. It's impacted the way all his employees are treated, how they treat their customers, and it's God-centered and tremendous story. And he's on our board, by the way, of the Way Cafe.
Well, I can't wait to meet him. It's funny you said the Way Cafe, because I was going to say, did you name it after Jim Way?
I don't know how Jim got the name, but the name is prophetic. We're really not going to have that name outside of the ministry. It's The Way. But we called it The Way Cafe initially because as people come in, we want to be able to offer them a refreshment, to be able to relax them and sit them down. Maybe coffee's not a good relaxer, but maybe some water or whatever. But it really is The Way. And that's the true meaning of this ministry. It's The Way. It's to give people an opportunity to tell us what's wrong with their relationship or the absent of relationship with Christ. I mean, I had the same problem. I grew up Catholic. I was an altar boy. I said the Mass in Latin. But, and I felt I had to raise our kids to the Catholics, and none of them went to church. Only recently, in the last couple of years, my youngest son, who's a fireman, is now going to church. His wife has been baptized, which she never had a church day in her life where she grew up, and I'm not being critical. It's just the way it was. So he's now turned his life to the Lord. I still have two that I keep working on, sending them to daily devotionals.
Go ahead. I think in the Catholic Church, my grandmother was a Catholic, and I may have attended a Catholic Mass 5 to 10 times as a boy. But I was never even taught about Jesus. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't even know what Easter was. I thought Easter was just Easter eggs. But I think that there are people in the pews, of course, at the Catholic Church who know the Lord. They're definitely born again. They may not know that they're born again, but I would like it if the priests were a little more forward in saying, have you had that conversion? It's a hard thing to do because, I knew about God. I believed in God till I was 29, but I didn't believe in Jesus. I thought Jesus was a bunch of hooey, that God would come as a man to the earth And then at the age of 29, I had so many very intelligent people around me that believed in Jesus. And I was doing a jingle for the American Lung Association. I went out to have lunch with this CEO and a group of people, and he started bringing up Jesus. I was so embarrassed. I felt like hiding underneath the table because in this open restaurant, he's going, son, do you know about Jesus? But anyway, it took a while, but Bob Dylan came to know Jesus and a bunch of other people, and Pat Robertson, who was a soft-speaking individual like yourself. He didn't yell. I don't like people that yell at me. I don't like the people on TV or radio that yell. I like Pat Robertson was attractive to me because he spoke like an intelligent gentleman. But anyway, so one Sunday I got up and I prayed and I surrendered my life to Jesus and was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
It was just he and I. But I know that 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 I, in fact, was birthed into a new kingdom that I did not know out of, an invisible kingdom. And I've been learning ever since. So I'd like to see, you know, I would like to see more in the Catholic Church. I'd like to see the priests openly say, you know, there is a point. Have you gotten to that point where if you're on the tipping point, have you gone over to the side where you say, okay, I'm going to trust you as my Lord and Savior? But that goes with every church. You know, you go in any church you go to, you'll find people are there because they're playing churchianity. And sometimes in a good way, they're good people. But the point is, whether you're in a Catholic church or a Protestant church or you're in a non-denominational church, I don't care. I don't care. And if you don't even go to church, I wasn't in church when I got born again, is not to play church, but to say, I want to. Jesus said, make sure ye are born from above. And that's between you and him. And only the individual knows if they've been birthed into the next kingdom. He said, make sure. He said, I wish above all things you were hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, you were a businessman for many years. Did you come to know the Lord early in life or later in life? What's your story, Chris Vogel?
It was later in life. I had a friend, Jerome Ryan, who... before he was saved, he had some issues. He was over to Dunklin Center. He came back, and all of a sudden, I start seeing a different person than the Jerome I knew prior. And he used to get on me because I worked every Sunday, had a very large practice, and that's just the way I was. I was a workaholic.
Accounting. You were an accountant, correct?
Yes, CPA. And so he said, well, why don't you... You're not going to church every Sunday. Why don't you join us like at a lunchtime? We'll do a Bible study. Well, as a Catholic, we never read the Bible. In fact, when I was a kid, that was something I dusted on Saturday because my mom worked at F.W. Woolworths on Saturday, so we had to do the cleaning. My brother got to run the vacuum because he was older, and I had to do the dusting. But we never opened the Bible, and I thought, you know, all right. So, and Walter Barron that I was talking about was also part of this group. And there's about 10 or 12 people, men and women, and we started doing some Bible studies. Well, as you know, Brett, when you start reading the Word of God, it starts to open you up. You start seeing things that you didn't see before, and the Holy Spirit begins to like set the fire in the chamber, so to speak, and I developed a hunger over time. And it was one Friday the pastor from the Bahamas, my mind just went blank, but he, powerful man of God, had written many books on the kingdom, was to preach over at this church off of 25th Street or St. James. And when he got there that night and spoke, there were words that he said that just convicted me. I thought, wow, this was something I needed to hear, because he explained the kingdom. He says, you grew up in the United States and you don't understand kingdom. You know, you're a democracy here. But he says, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. There's no voting. God's law is God's law. There's no amendments.
And that's good.
You know, and so slowly but surely, I made this little pact with God. I said, well, I'll go to this Bible study every week, but I'm not going to church on Sunday because I got all this work. So I'm now dictating to God what the rules are, right? So one Thursday, that's the time we met, it was the Holy Week, and we were to have our Bible study, but at the same time, we were to have this conference call with the outfit in Texas over the sale of some radio stations. And I'm waiting and waiting. It's like 20 after 12. And then another gentleman, Larry Lee, was part of this group, said, I'm trying to get a hold of him. I don't know what's happened. And then he gets a call back. Well, they shut down for Easter. I said, well, I'm not going to Bible study. I'll just go and order a sandwich. Now, having said that, I go before that, I've had back surgeries. I've had problems with my back. So that Friday morning, I go to get up, and as men do, go into the restroom. And as I go to get up, all of a sudden, Brett, I am in pain I've never experienced before. So severe, worse than the others before I had my surgery. It was like I couldn't explain it. Usually when I had that severe back pain, I could either get into a position where I either sat or I laid down or stood up, one of those three, and I could ease it somewhat. Didn't matter what I did. The pain was severe. Saturday night, I had a dream so real that I'll never forget it. I had a picture of Jesus looking at me and looking at me with, like, disappointment. He said, you told me that you wouldn't go to church every Sunday because you were making Bible studies, and that was your promise with me. And I was okay with that. But he said, you couldn't even keep that promise. He said, I want you to feel the pain that I feel. Well, Rhett, there must have been 120,000 volts through my body. I've never felt a feeling like that in my life. I woke my wife up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you don't wake her up. I had to explain to her, this dream was so vivid. So real. I got up out of bed. I sat down and I almost started crying. I thought, wow, I did something I shouldn't have done. I made a promise to God that I couldn't keep. And I said, I'm done. I'm going to let God control my life. I said, it's over. And it was at that point that I gave my life to Christ. And, you know, I had 2 more weeks of tax season. And I thought, I may never work again. I'm going to probably have a surgery that's going to cripple me. By Monday morning, I was able to go to work.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Dad up, fathers. There are times when a father does not have free access to his child, for whatever reason. It is important for you to make every effort to ensure that your child knows you have not forgotten about them. You may not have their current address, but keep writing those letters. Keep writing those birthday cards. Months or years later, when you finally reunite and your child wants to know, why did you forget me? Take out those cards, show them those letters. This may not make the relationship 100% perfect, but it will go a long way to mend those broken bridges. Dad, you matter. Your presence or absence impacts a child in so many different ways. It is your job, indeed, your honor to be there for your child. This is Seamus Gordon with the Father-Child Connection, empowering fathers to establish, re-establish, or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children. For further information, contact us at 561-229-2379 or email us at admin@thefatherchildconnection.org. Dad up.
Do you remember me? I sat up on your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasy. I'm all grown up.